This is David Miller, executive producer of Market to Market. The following is our Market Analysis podcast, which is one of three podcasts generated by the producers of our program. Market Plus is what you don't see on TV and is available in podcast form and online at markettomarket.org and on our YouTube page of Market to Market. We also have the M2M podcast, which publishes on Tuesday and is a look at the behind-the-scenes work with our stories, as well as conversations with folks involved in agriculture. Now here's Delaney Howell.
This is the Friday, October 11, 2019 version of the Market Analysis segment from Market to Market. Weather, optimism over a potential trade deal, and Thursday's WASDE report moved the commodity market. For the week, December wheat jumped 18 cents, while the nearby corn contract rocketed 13 cents. Good export numbers, a friendly report, and potential sales to China bumped the November soybean contract 20 cents. December meal rose 7.10 per ton. December cotton gained 2.21 per hundredweight. Over in the dairy parlor, November Class 3 milk futures improved 68 cents. A mechanical issue at a packing plant helped push December cattle $1.37 higher. And despite a rally in the corn market, November feeders gained 287. Optimism over Chinese trade added 235 to the December lean hog contract. In the currency markets, the U.S. dollar index moved down 49 ticks. November crude oil added 208 per barrel. COMEX gold decreased 2470 per ounce, and the Goldman Sachs commodity index gained more than 10 points to finish at 40910. Joining us now to offer insight on these and other trends is one of our regular market analysts, Tom Fitzenmaier. Tom, welcome back.
All right. Thanks, Lanny.
Tom, we had a lot of news that came out here right at the end of Friday when we were beginning to tape Market to Market, the first being this alleged rumored trade deal between the U.S. and China. We've got a question here from Ryan Peterson that came in to us via email. He said, what are the potential upsides if China comes back with a trade deal, and what are our resistance points? But I want to add to that, since we do have now this rumored trade deal, what will the markets do to react to this opening up Sunday night into Monday?
Well, to some extent, it's going to depend on quantities, obviously. They promised to buy 5 million metric ton of beans up to this point, and they bought 4.8. So that's going to be the question. Is this agreement going to are they going to go ahead and buy more than that 5 million metric ton, 15 to 25? You hear that talk as some pork. Obviously, they need pork because of the problems they've got over there with their pork herd. So that's, again, we need quantity. We had a good export, really good export number in pork Thursday, and yet the market didn't react all that much to it, and recognizing it was for, you know, kind of distant purchases, but still, I think that hog market's kind of geared up for that. So we had a nice rally on the grains, particularly on Friday. So it will be interesting to see if that's a sort of buy the rumor, sell the fact kind of a thing when we come in Sunday night and Monday. It's going to be interesting.
That it is.
Certainly good news is good news. I mean, that you can't deny that.
So. And hopefully the market rallies at least on positive sentiment from this news.
Correct.
But on Friday, as you mentioned there, all the grain markets closed exceptionally strong. Tom, tell me what happened in the wheat markets. Why did they close up for the day?
I think it was a mix of this weather going across, the bad weather going across the northern plains. It certainly had an effect on the wheat. There's some talk that the wheat yields haven't been what they hoped they would be. And then I think the dry weather in Australia and Argentina sort of played into that too. Everybody seemed to be a bit excited about the prospects of this trade deal with China, and then the wheat market kind of got caught up in that too. Wheat's right up again. December wheat's got up, I think, around 508s where we closed, and 510s resistance. So we're right up against it in the wheat market. It's going to be, there's still a ton of wheat in the world, and despite all these problems, it's going to be hard to make headway. But if we break up above that, there might be a little more go to it.
Absolutely. Tom, when you look at the corn market, they also had a great day on Friday, but Thursday they did not react very positively to the WASDE report. Friday, were they trading the WASDE report or something else?
I think they totally ignored that, and we're right back trading. Again, weather, there's a lot of concern that that weather is going to cause some problems for the corn crop. still a fair amount of corn that's not matured yet, and there's threats of frost being imminent. So I think that was it. And then there was, for some reason, there was talk about China. Well, China is probably not going to buy any corn, but they might buy some ethanol. They might buy some DDGs, maybe. So I guess it's supported with corn market in that respect. If anything overreacted, it might have been the corn market a little bit on Friday. But we'll have to see that. The weather's still an issue. Still a lot of people in the farm community that don't believe, you know, the USDA bumped yield in that report on Thursday, and a lot of people don't think that was appropriate. So that was probably in the mix. They saw that hard break on Thursday and viewed it as a buying opportunity and came rushing in there to get some stuff, especially end users, get some things covered. So that was probably part of what was going on Friday, too.
So with all these weather issues kind of coming to the forefront now with snow and a lot of rain, delayed harvest, is this the beginning of our potential harvest weather rally?
It certainly could be. I think there's a little more up in corn for sure.
How much?
I mean, it's going to take a yield break because that carryout that they came out with Thursday, it shows that there's plenty of corn around. And then you start looking ahead, and South America is probably going to have a decent crop. I mean, we have to assume they will. And then we've got 19 million acres of prevent plant of corn that's going to have to, is that going to come back into production in 2020? So, you know, with a 1.9 billion bushel carryout, I don't know how you really need to go, especially there was a drop, 150 million bushel drop in our export. There's a 50 million drop in ethanol production. Well, certainly rallying corn isn't going to help that situation any. So while I think there's probably some up here, I'd kind of use these rallies as a chance to get it caught up on sales, especially since the basis is so good. I talked to a lot of guys this week where the basis was unbelievable for, you know, especially if you can get it to them quick. So I think there's opportunities going to be presented here, and you kind of need to keep your eyes open for them.
Make some sales, it sounds like, in the corn market. But in the soybean market, it seems like there is some upside potential there. Are you recommending folks to make sales at these levels, or do you think we have some room to go to the upside?
There's a big carry from November to July. So we've been looking at selling the July. So there's a 45 to 50 cent carry out that far, which is a nice carry. So I guess we're thinking that if you can get July soybeans up in that 10, maybe 10 and a quarter area, which is, I think we close around 885, something like that, or 985. I think that kind of a 30 to 50 cent rally from here is something that need to be sold. The Brazilian farmers have been selling heavily into this rally. All this does is incentivize them to plant more acres of beans. So there's some headwinds coming. And we have to remember, 460 million bushel carryout, substantially lower than we had a year ago, but still the second or third highest carryout we've had in history. So it's still plenty of beans. I don't think you want to let yourself get too caught up in this. And like I said, we've rallied almost a dollar off the September lows. So to some extent, some of this has been factored in. Now, if the Chinese come in and buy 25 million metric ton, then there's probably going to be some more up in it.
Monday's trading day, of course, as we mentioned, it's going to be an interesting one with this, if nothing else, psychology for the market.
Right.
How much of a rally should we reward coming into the trade on Monday if we see that in the soybean market?
I don't know if it'll happen Monday, but I like it's a 35 to 40 cent rally, I'd certainly be making some sales on.
Okay. Tom, let's talk about the meat markets. Live cattle, I've got to ask, how much higher will they go?
I think you can see February up in that 120 to 122, which would be $3 to $5 higher than this. At some point, we're probably going to have a correction. The market's gotten a little ahead of itself. I would think I'm looking for a $1 to $3, maybe $4 correction, and I certainly would want to be a buyer of cattle on a correction like that. But I think overall, we're going to tend to work higher in the pork and the beef market. We've got pretty good fundamentals in terms of demand. In the pork market, not so good because there's a heck of a lot of pork being produced. But I think beef's going to be all right.
With these potential rallies and some of the rallies we've already seen in the corn market, the feeder cattle market still continue to push higher this week. How much of a cap, though, are we going to see with corn prices potentially rising?
Well, if corn prices rise and the feeders have been, like you said, the corn market hasn't done anything for the feeder market. It's really been the fat market that's drugging along. If that starts to stall out, unless corn prices drop sharply, I think you're going to get November feeders are what, 144, 145. You get them up in that 148 to 150 range. I think they're going to struggle to go much farther than that.
Tom, the other question I wanted to ask this week about the feeder market is it looks like there's a premium being built into the cash market right now with the deferred contracts below the price of cash. Why is that going on in the feeder cattle markets?
Apparently, there's some optimism that corn prices are going to stay weak is the only thing and that makes sense to me. And like I said, there's, I think you can't discount the fact that China's in the mix of this cattle industry too, and the deferreds on pork and beef are up a little bit, and I think that's incentivizing and encouraging the feeder market as well. It doesn't take much to encourage those feeder cattle guys anyway, so you get a couple of good things like that going on, and it's going to be supportive.
It seems that the lean hog market, as you mentioned, has not found a lot of support from the recent Chinese purchases. Tom, do you think that we will factor those in at some point, or is the market factored all of that in for now?
Well, we have factored a bunch of it in. I think that's part of the reason you see the responses being muted. It's kind of a conundrum in the pork industry because we're producing a ton of pork. I mean, a lot of it. We had record production the other day. There's a lot. So the industry is geared up for sales to be made to China. If that doesn't happen or gets drug out, we've got the futures market substantially above the cash market.
Because of the Chinese
absolutely
trade stuff?
Absolutely. Okay. They haven't bought enough to boost the cash market, but the traders are anticipating that they will and have rallied up the futures market. So at some point, that's going to have to get reconciled. Now, it keeps getting... Everybody thought, well, in October. Well, it hasn't really happened any great degree in October, and it keeps getting pushed back here. I don't know. Obviously, timing is everything in all kinds of markets, and that's certainly true in the hog market here.
And which do you see happening, cash coming to meet the futures or vice versa?
Well, if the Chinese demand shows up, the cash market's probably going to have to come to the futures. If it doesn't, futures are going to drop to the cash market. That's basically it's a pretty simple equation, and if the demand comes, perfect. If it doesn't, we got problems in the pork industry.
And it's all Chinese dependent, you think?
I think it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tom, we're going to continue this discussion in Market Plus. Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks.
That wraps up the broadcast portion of Market to Market, but we will keep this conversation going on Market Plus, where we'll answer more of your questions. You can find it on our website at markettomarket.org. Facebook allows you to keep track of many interests, including those in rural America. You can find our links and photos at IPTV Market. Join us again next week when we'll profile Simon Groot, the recipient of the 2019 World Food Prize. So until then, thanks for watching. I'm Delaney Howell. Have a great week.